I'm Andrew Schneider at 92.1 KBLS here with David Kaczmarinski. He's heading into his senior year at Dort University. Had the pleasure of covering three of your varsity seasons back at Pella Christian for both football and basketball back in the day. And you were named as a member of our all-decade team. So we're kind of going back in the time machine, so to speak, to when you were at Pella Christian High School and playing football. When you think back to your time in your 4 years at PC, what are some of the initial memories or things that kind of just jump out to you as things that have stuck with you as you've gone on to college?
For me, the first thing that really, you know, kind of pops into my mind is where we went from a team, you know, my freshman year to as a senior, you know, a team that was ranked number two in the state. And we came in that freshman year. You know, we had a lot of guys in my class that had to do time early, you know, kind of playing positions as freshmen and as sophomores they probably weren't ready for, that I probably wasn't ready for. But, you know, we really had to mature early in those teams, and watching us kind of progress from guys that were, you know, boys playing with guys that were, you know, 17, 18 years old, into a team that was one of the best in the state was something that really kind of sticks in my memory.
Well, and for you, it's always a unique story because you got to grow up in the program with your dad as head coach. From the moment you came back to Pella, he was the leader of this program, and you were kind of, you know, being groomed, so to speak, to be ready and take that role of leadership when you did get on the team. You know, what, as you think back now, especially now that you've had a different coach and you've had, you know, different experiences at college, what do you remember most fondly about those times of growing up with your dad as he was trying to build this football program into one that's now been to the Dome twice and, like you said, has had all these great players?
I mean, Pella Christian football was such a big part of my life, still is a big part of my life. But, you know, from fourth grade to senior year in high school, I did not miss a single Pella Christian football game. So I got to see every single player of the game through every single game. And I still think back on those. And a lot of those guys were, you know, such big heroes of mine when I was growing up. But Pella Christian football has just been something that I've been really invested in. You know, from the moment that I was told that we're moving back to Pella, I just kind of went full in on it. And it was always so special to see my dad. He puts in so much time, even in times in the off season where you think a high school football coach really wouldn't be invested in it. And he's always thinking of plays. He's always writing stuff up. And from, you know, from my perspective, seeing that at an early age was something that just made me fall even more in love with Pella Christian football.
Well, and like you said, you had to come in as a freshman and play a lot of time on defense, especially as varsity. And then heading into your sophomore year, you were going to be the guy on offense, too. So you're going to be the quarterback. And the offense, when I talked to Levi about this a few days ago, was really built around your skill set, being able to kind of sling the football around a little bit, spread out the offense. For many years, Pella Christian football wasn't quite that kind of game. What do you remember about that transition the most of trying to turn it into a passing team for the most part that could still run the football, but clearly you were going to spread it out and score as many points as you could?
For many years, I think from the time my dad got there, Pella Christian was mainly a wing T team, you know, under center, did a lot of that kind of stuff, and it really fit who we were as a program, a lot of the blocking schemes. But, you know, coming into my sophomore year with guys like Levi Jungling and myself and other guys that kind of grown up, we felt like our skill sets better fit, you know, a strategy that was built around shotgun formation, spreading out the field, using a little bit more of our speed. And in the past, we kind of had running backs that, you know, played as juniors and seniors, had years in the program. Guys like Brett Newsma and Mitch Feinhart, guys like Mason Howarzile as well, that had, you know, 1,000-yard rushers, guys that were able to, you know, line up at the fullback position and really take a lot of carries per game. We didn't really have that, you know, my sophomore year. So it was a kind of a combination of stuff that fit me and Levi well and stuff that we didn't really have that kind of precipitated that change.
Well, and I thought it was interesting to watch it grow because I came in right as that change happened. That was my first year from that year to your senior year. And there were some road bumps on that way to kind of talk, and we'll talk about that in a second. But when did you think that finally started clicking for you that you were going to be a quarterback that was going to have to throw the football 20, 25 times a game for you to have success?
I don't know if it was ever something that clicked at one single moment, something that kind of built over time. From the times of being in sixth grade, throwing the ball around with Levi in the backyard, or, you know, even going on all the 7-on-7 stuff we did freshman and sophomore year in high school and in my junior year. But probably more the passing stuff got going after I tore my ACL my junior year, and we kind of shifted a little bit from being a run-oriented offense out of the shotgun formation and, you know, trying to get the ball to Levi on the edge. And, you know, I was a little bit more limited in what I could do running the ball. So that kind of period right there really kind of opened up what we could do passing-wise.
Well, and I remember interviewing you throughout that season and then the next year into your senior year, finally finding out that you did tear your ACL. You didn't get to play basketball in 2015. You know, how did you think you grew from that experience, especially because you played on it, didn't realize that you had done it, and realized what you had, that you could have potentially, you know, obviously hurt yourself worse. And then now you're going into your senior year and there's a lot of pressure to have a lot of success. What do you remember about that time the most of recovery and rehabilitation and how that shaped you now today?
It was definitely a different kind of challenge that I hadn't gone through before. So in terms of forcing me to mature in ways that I hadn't had to previously was something that was really beneficial to me. And it allowed me to take kind of a different perspective. I wasn't able to run like I wanted to, or, you know, get the strength that I wanted to. So relying more mentally on how I played the game or on other people on our team to get stuff done really allowed me to grow in terms of my football IQ and reliance upon my teammates.
Well, and, you know, you mentioned 2015 becoming more pass-oriented. Now, as you think back and look back, you've played defensive line now in college. But, you know, it's probably crazy to think about how you've been a part of one of the great passing duos in state history. Levi has a state record for receiving yardage. And had you been able to play a few more games, probably even more so the other ones that Hawkinson had. I'm guessing you never thought of that necessarily, but it has to be pretty neat that you guys left your mark on history with how your offense worked, especially in Class 1A football. And it was a really driving factor in your senior year.
Definitely. Watching Levi kind of take down records like that is always something that he'll look back on fondly, and I definitely will too, the part that I had to play in that. And I get a lot of crap now from their coaches up at Door and other players about how I just play defensive line now, and Levi carried me because he's obviously had so much success as a wide receiver at Door. But just watching him kind of progress as a wide receiver over those years, he was really something else. Like when he took, I don't think anybody like at the 1A level had really seen a wide receiver like that. And so just watching him kind of take over games and dominate at the wide receiver position, which is not something you see a whole lot in the small school Iowa football. So just being a part of that, you know, him taking plays of mine where I throw him a quick out and him going 80 yards, stuff that really kind of padded my stats and made me look good is something I'll always be thankful for.
And, you know, we were just talking to Noah Claybrook before this, and I had done an interview with you guys 5 years ago together. The two of you grew up together and then ended up playing on different teams. And he obviously got a chance to go to the Dome and win a couple championships, and he had a couple heartbreaking losses at the end of seasons. But as you think about this town and the culture of football and what's been built, not only at Pella Community, but what your dad's built at Pella Christian, as you look back now and see that continued success, you know, where do you think you fit into that piece of that? What are the things that you think about your senior class and the senior class Noah was in and what you guys brought to football here in Pella, Iowa?
I think just contributing to the tradition of football and really adding a layer to it that motivated, you know, classes below us and upcoming classes that haven't played football yet at Pella or Pella Christian, kind of seeing the success they've had. Doing something the first time is always going to be the hardest. And kind of the path that Noah and his team's blaze has really opened out the possibilities for the Pella football teams. But even going back before that, Nathan Claybrook's teams, and Noah obviously was on that team as well, but Nathan Claybrook is a senior. You know, they had a heartbreaking loss to that Washington team that they had beat previously. In a year, they probably could have won another state championship. But he was really a bridge between a period of Pella football where they're kind of come back from something and, you know, kind of the dominating team of the 2010s. And all that work that he put in, he didn't really get to appreciate it himself. He didn't really get to kind of reap the benefits, but he got to see everybody else after him, you know, accomplish things because of the work he did, him and his class. And I kind of see my class in the same way. I never got to go to the Dome, as it was mentioned, but the two teams after me did. And I think that was partly because of the work that my class did and kind of paving the way. And I think there'll be many years after this that Pella Christian has success and hopefully state championships. Because even though we weren't able to have success, my class helped instill in something in Pell Christian football that wasn't there before.
Well, and what's got to be cool for you now is you've got a younger brother who's about to really take off on that journey. Played a little bit last year, but really will probably have a lot more of a role on the varsity team going forward, hopefully for the next 3 years. And that has to be an interesting connection for you, obviously still having dad as coach, but now to see a younger brother and to see his friends and the guys that you probably got annoyed with at friend sleepovers and stuff like that growing up and learning the game of football. That has to be an interesting place for you, and probably, I imagine, one that has a little bit of fun to it as well.
Most definitely. I probably get more nervous listening to games now or watching my brother play than I ever did playing myself. It gets to the point where I can't even really listen on the radio. And you guys do a great job, and I have the app and everything that I listen to on my phone, you know, on our road trips before games. But I literally can't do it. I listen for about, you know, a series, and I turn it off, and then I pace, and I turn it back on, because it was something I really didn't understand before, you know, graduating. But I was able to still be invested in it and still care to a point that I didn't think I was going to be able to. I wasn't quite sure how I'd feel about following Pell Christian teams having success after I graduated, especially with the kind of losses that we kind of suffered at the end of the years. But I was able to appreciate it and enjoy it so much more than I was ever able to enjoy it for myself. And watching my younger brother come up here in his class, it's going to be something that I don't think I can even describe right now. I don't think I have the vocabulary to do it. So it's going to be a real joy to watch him play. Hopefully I'll get to watch him a couple times this year, and who knows what they're able to do. I think they'll be able to do a lot, but who knows?
Well, and, you know, we'll talk a little bit about Dort in a second, but, you know, you mentioned the heartbreaking losses, and that was, in my mind, it's the toughest game I've ever called, was the near comeback with Regina, and I haven't had a chance to talk to you and Levi about it till now, and you're a few years removed, and I'm not trying to rip off a Band-Aid here, David, but how has a loss like that shaped you as a football player now, and not just a football player, but kind of the lessons learned of life that, yeah, you had number one versus number two. You had your chance, but obviously you couldn't do it. And now there's two dome teams later, maybe because of that loss. What do you take from that the most, and what have you learned the most from that difficult end to your career?
It was definitely a moment where I feel like in the moment I wasn't able to appreciate, but now I can appreciate how much I grew up from it. It was probably, you know, this sounds silly to say, but at the moment when I threw that interception and Regina took that knee, it felt like all these years of hard work kind of paid off for nothing. And it was a really tough moment. And it was something that I felt like kind of defined me, like when I was standing on that field. But it allowed me to grow up in a way and kind of realize that it wasn't all that I was thinking it was at, you know, kind of the instance that I threw that interception. And in some ways, it kind of directed me to Dort, because about a month after that, my now current head coach, Joel Penner, came down and spoke with me. And one of the things that he said to me was that the goals that we make for ourselves and our football teams, those are legitimate things that we want to try to achieve. But the purpose and the purpose of who we are, that's the ultimate thing that we're striving for. And I realized I'd kind of gotten those things switched up. And my goals, obviously, you know, win a state championship, you know, make the dome, win something, and, you know, share a state championship with my dad. Those were all really legitimate goals, but it kind of gotten them switched up and it become my ultimate thing. And so when I didn't have the success that I wanted to, that's why it kind of left me so empty. And even if I would have had that success, I don't think it would have been quite as fulfilling, because I got those things switched. So I was able to learn from those things that kind of directed me in ways that I feel like I'm much better off for it now.
Well, and now you, as a senior, you're entering what is likely your last year of competitive football, and you're trying to get Dort over that similar hump. The last couple of years, 7-win teams, 6-win teams, you know, winning seasons for the first time in a school that had never had winning seasons before. You and some of your classmates and guys like Noah Klaberg arrived on campus. As you enter this last year, kind of in that spot of trying to build this program, get yourself over a hump, when you've got the Regina of the NAIA of Morningside and these Northwestern teams that have been so great in your conference, what are the things you head into the season trying to feel, both from an on-the-field perspective, those legitimate goals you're talking about, but also that purpose of developing yourself as a person?
You know, obviously, goals that we have for ourselves are playoff team, you know, winning our conference, you know, making deep playoffs pushes, and I think we can all accomplish that. I think we got the players, I think we got the coaching to do it. We, over the last couple of years, we were able to develop a lot of guys, and we're bringing in a lot of new freshman talent that I'm really excited about. But even if those goals are not met this year, I think I can still walk away from a college career and feel fulfilled, because the things that I went to Dort for, it wasn't all wrapped up in winning football games. And those were things that I was kind of looking for in a college, and things that are my ultimate fulfillment. Things like being a better person when I graduate, being in a better spot to provide for my family, my relationship with Christ being deepened, and all those things have been, worked on over these years, and I'm better off because I've gone to Dort. And this last year is going to be a really fun ride, and I think we're going to accomplish a lot of our goals. But the purpose of, becoming a better man and, a better person in my future, those things aren't something I can quantify in one season of time.
Well, and you're married to a Northwestern student who's about to have a similar experience, and I imagine that's got to be very interesting for people who don't know. AJ, formerly Horseman, now Kak Marinsky, playing with her younger sister up at Northwestern. And, you kind of talked about that there at the end of your football career, but at the same time, then what's that next step for David Kak Marinsky after whenever this football season does end, whether it's this fall or the spring, and you head into that married life and try to maybe make your own legacy like your dad has in football and your uncle has done in football and so many of your family members have?
Yeah, I really hope that football can remain a part of my life, something I've always been interested in. I don't know if that means coaching or doing something else related to that, but going down watching Pell Christian football games is always going to be something I'm going to do, especially with my family still involved in it. And I'm not quite sure what my future holds besides that. I mean, I've got to keep my options open, and I know that my time to make these decisions is coming up quickly, but I haven't really hammered out anything permanent yet. Just kind of looking forward to a little bit more, time to go watch my siblings play their sports respectively and enjoy a little bit more family time now that my football career would be over.
That is David Kak Marinsky joining us here, sharing some memories about his time at Pella Christian and some pretty deep words of wisdom about life itself. I really appreciate the time, David. It's been so much fun to not only follow you in high school, but kind of follow from afar with your college career. And I'm really excited to see you play at least one more time in the black and gold, so to speak, at Dort. I appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.